Good morning, folks, and welcome to Drive Time Friday. This is Mark Call.
There is lots to talk about. Let me mention this
right up front. You've probably heard this just about everywhere by now anyway.
But Queen Elizabeth II has died at the age of 96, and it looks like King Charles III is the new monarch over there. But we have a lot of other things to talk about, too. I'll keep one eye on the system and see whether or not we get David Justice online yet or not.
More Skype problems, of course.
And I got to keep my hands off the control so Phil can have the control. But what I want to do is talk about some of the other things as well. One of the interesting stories that we'll get to when David gets on here has to do with the continuing coup against the United States. But certainly there is a lot of other stuff as well. I guess probably the other big news has to do with things that have been lied about and covered up for so long and yet are finally being revealed. And it looks to me like in the last several weeks we've seen a number of these. Obviously, the raid on Mar-a-Lago was a big one where a lot of Americans that didn't realize how far gone the police state was started to recognize what was happening. As more information trickles out, and most of it's being lied about, we're going to have some more whistleblowers, I hope, come forward and explain what is going on and why it was that this coup was instituted now, as if we didn't already know. I think we pretty well have the information. There is a binder that Trump evidently put together concerning a lot of the information about how they conspired to overthrow the election. How they, and this is back in 2016, mind you, bugged his phone, tapped his phone, had live assets on the inside, and then rigged the entire Steele dossier and Russia collusion thing in an attempt to destroy the administration once it was inaugurated. Then later on, of course, the process continued with the overthrow of the election, the hiding of the Hunter Biden laptop, deep sixing of any information there. And all of that is continuing to come out. Now it turns out, oh yeah, we're finding out other things too. In Israel, for example, the government there hid the data. They didn't even start taking the data until 6 months after they were pushing the poison poke. And then it turns out that there were huge numbers of increases in all kinds of side effects, deaths, you name it, and they hid that for an entire year. So on every front, people have begun to see what's going on. Finally, then, of course, we had the Biden speech from the gates of hell where he declared war on Americans. Anybody that's ever read the Constitution a little over a week ago now. And that, too, is having repercussions. I think a lot of those are intended repercussions. They are the things that people are not supposed to realize until it's too late, but that are going on. Example, let's foist a civil war on the American people. So that's kind of where we're at. I'm looking. I still don't see David Justice online. We'll get David momentarily. While I'm thinking of it, and I don't think David and I will talk about this, so I'll mention this story now. I do, in fact, enjoy seeing stuff from Professor Jonathan Turley because he is a constitutional attorney, professor at Harvard, and has a kind of an interesting distinction. He is one of these honest leftists that will admit the truth when he sees it, and he does a pretty good job on that score. Except, of course, when it comes to certain things like the Second Amendment. But in any case, he wrote a piece for the New York Post that came out over the weekend entitled Semper Si, and he is among at least a minimal number of people who's pointing out that, did you notice that while Biden was standing in front of the gates of hell and desecrating Philadelphia and basically saying, well, the founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for principles that we're going to now defecate upon, that's putting it politely, and we're going to destroy the document and the concept of God-given rights. No, you don't have any rights except the ones we allow you if you're good little slaves. He had a pair of Marines standing on either side of him, kind of demonstrating how far gone the country is. And so what the Jonathan Turley piece notes is the use of the Marines violates their policy, federal policies, regulations, the UCMJ, Department of Defense Directive 1344.10, and so forth, because not only was he threatening the American people, but he was also indicating that, we're going to use Marines for purely political activities, like making war on the American people, which somewhere, I'm sure, in the Constitution, that's a violation as well. In any case, I think we have David Justice, at least maybe we're seeing. Dave, are you there? He's not there yet, but I know he's almost here. One more comment from the article by Professor Turley. He notes that the hypocrisy around this thing is kind of amazing, too. The fellow that I refer to, and I'm not alone, as Marxist Milley, the traitorous general who essentially undermined the Trump administration, promised the communist Chinese that if there was anything they needed to get a heads up on, he'd call them first before he obeyed a direct order from his commander-in-chief. But in any case, this was the same guy who walked with Trump to a church, remember, a while back in Washington, D.C., and later he said, oh, that's horrible. And the Marine band was there, and he declared that this was a political event, and therefore it was a horrible thing that the president did. The use of Marines, he said, would create a perception of the military involved in domestic politics. Well, gee, isn't that exactly what the Biden regime threatening Americans with Marines at the gates of hell speech did? And essentially what he said was, you oppose this president, you're an enemy of der Staat, Achtung, and that is verboten. All right, I think he's got it. We'll get David on momentarily.
Let's go here, though, while we're trying to get him on. One of those better late than never stories that came out from multiple sources, left-wing spin sites especially, MSNBC, The Huffington Post, Yahoo, you name it.
The president is now coming out and saying that maybe there needs to be a new election. That one we will talk about with David. But it follows some revelations. For example, when the two Facebook chairman, Mark Zuckerberg, appeared with Joe Rogan, and he admitted that the FBI essentially came and helped Facebook, I'll put it that way, it was a partnership, don't you know, to cover up the laptop from hell and
Hunter Biden,
the crackhead whoremeister, who also is kind of the
one of the top front men for the Biden crime family,
making sure that the big guy gets his cut of the grifters that are working for him internationally. All of that, in fact, was covered up and has been coming out. Okay, are we there with David? Are you online with us?
I am.
All right. Sorry. Apologies there. I've explained to folks the usual problems with two Facebook. It just plain wasn't. So many bad tools. Skype in this case, but we've got you, and that's good.
Well, the social media, the whole platform is government sponsored or subsidized or created. I don't know, whatever. The entire social media, though, is the means by which we volunteer into the system that we would otherwise resist. So they made it look cool. They made it fashionable. They made it trendy. And so many of us volunteered into it. And as a result, they're going to have their way. You know what? The other thing that I find fascinating is what is falling apart is the two caste system, you know, the elite versus everyone else, the club versus everyone else, and we're not members. And we're seeing it so clear with Joe Biden and Hunter's laptop ordeal.
Uh-oh. I think we just lost him. Let's try it again.
No, I'm back.
Okay, there you
I
go.
Am.
Yeah, we saw it. We see it clearly with the Hunter laptop from hell is kind of where you were at when you got cut off.
Well, and then we've got Hillary Clinton out there, you know, and she, you know, blitbeached her information and then smashed her cell phones. And yet they go into Trump's Mar-a-Lago with a warrant that basically collects data that he already declassified. And so we have a two-tiered system of justice. It's becoming clearer. And that's the good news is because so many people can see so much that, you know, a couple of years ago, most people were oblivious that this could even be possible. Everybody was walking around in a state of denial. There's no more denying it unless you're completely disconnected and, you know, suffering from a powerful delusion so that you'll believe a lie. But that's only for the people that refuse to love the truth, Mark.
And there's a lot of both at this point. I think what we're really seeing in the last week, David, and this is one of the places that I wanted to go with you today, is it's not just that the gloves are off, that the velvet glove has come off the iron fist and tyranny's been revealed. We've seen so many real big things lately. And I mentioned before you came on Mar-a-Lago and then the president's Gates of Hell speech where he made war on the American people and said, look at my Marines on either side of me. They're standing here. They're ignorant of what's going on. They think I'm commander-in-chief. chief, they'll follow my orders to kill all of you people, put you in concentration camps, and do everything that my mentor Adolf did. And if you haven't seen the memes with all the fist raising and the comparisons literally side by side, the red, black, and white motif of the Third Reich Nazis and the Fourth Reich Nazis, and literally, I even saw a piece, I don't know if I believe it or not, but it certainly is credible, that Biden was watching videos of their Fuhrer prior to giving that address so that he was kind of ready to do his own imitation. Go ahead.
The amazing thing is, if there is not a plan, if the plan of devolution, which I sincerely think is going on, but if it's not and at work, then what they're showing us is the dictatorship that is. And they're using the tactic of fear to silence. They're using censorship to silence. And so they're preparing, you know, with the 87,000 IRS agents, they're preparing to completely finish their coup d'etat and subjugate the American people and ultimately the world to this global dictatorship. I, of course, will resist, and as many others will resist. And the means of resistance, I think, at this junction is non-cooperation, nonviolent non-cooperation. Just stop going along with the program. Stop cooperating with our own slave market.
Well, that's been the case for a long time. As you know, I've done the Come Out of Her My People show. Randy Yarborough has also been talking about this for as long as I have. And the whole point is we need to come out, recognize the system is not just corrupt, but literally, and you saw this in the speech from hell, it's anti-everything scriptural. If there's something that the Bible says do it, they'll say, no, we're going to outlaw it. If there's something that the Bible says is abomination, they'll teach it to your kids and so forth. So it's not like that's new. We've gotten to the point where I think more and more Americans that have been blind to it, and we've talked about this for several weeks too, are finally being forced to wake up to it because there's just no hiding it anymore.
Well, you know, we've got the problem with the church, the institutional Christian church, which is telling everyone to submit and obey, go along, get along, because that's righteous. You know, the 1 Peter 2:13, and then you got Romans 13 that can be interpreted in such a way as to suggest that we're just supposed to, that God sets up all governments on earth and we're supposed to submit and obey. You know, nothing could be further from the truth, and yet that's what the institutional, the Nicolaitan clergy hierarchy, the priestcraft, wants us to believe, because that's the source of their power. So they can't really renege on that claim without revealing that, you know, God changes his mind, because, of course, his agents change their mind. So we're living in a time of absolute delusion, and it's a fascinating thing to watch the wheels fall off as their lie is totally exposed. And that's the nice thing about truth, or the great thing about truth, is ultimately truth will have its way, because the light shines in the dark. The dark does not comprehend it. It can't comprehend how it could possibly lose after being this so far ahead, Mark.
Well, that's true. And yet, for the time being, at least, I think what Americans have to recognize is it's going to get a whole lot uglier before it gets any better. I had several stories that I picked out just overnight, David. The real interesting ones, at least in the short term, that are kind of telegraphing where we're headed, are coming out of Europe. We certainly saw that in lots of places, Britain, in Germany especially, there are incredible increases, up to a factor of 1,000%, a factor of 10 increases in utility bills, especially for things like natural gas, now that they've shot themselves in the foot and reloaded with Ukraine. So on that score, what we're seeing, and we talked about this a little bit last week, Poland, a week or two back, you had people lining up, spending literally nights in cars, trying to get coal because they were concerned about what's coming. You're seeing it in the Czech Republic, 70,000 people in Prague protesting. And literally now what's happening is Germany especially, they're simply coming out and saying there won't be any heat this winter. Switzerland, I heard some incredible stuff coming out of the Swiss about how they're going to limit temperatures in houses, make it a crime to heat your house above the Achtung allowed temperature. You wouldn't even be allowed to boil water, it sounds like. That one's so bizarre that you go, how stupid are these people? But they want to make sure that people don't have heat for any purposes. And what this is telling us is that the elite in Europe realize this is going to be a hell of a lot worse, I mean, a whole lot worse, any way you slice it, than people are being told. And the people, at least in Europe, are not stupid enough to believe it. They're looking at their own version of the Macrons, the Biden Führers of that area, and they're saying, we don't trust you. We've known you're a liar for a long time, and we expect that you intend to freeze us to death. And they're right. Go ahead.
Well, they are right, because that's the way dictatorships work. Okay, the first thing they need to do is reduce the population to make it more manageable. They can't let the intellectuals survive, so they're gonna starve us out. And in order to starve us out, they're gonna freeze us out. That's the way dictatorships get control. They want us on our knees, begging them to provide for us, and so they take away our food, and they take away our ability to live a civil life, so that we end up capitulating to a dictatorship. It's the MO of how it always works, and those that fail to study history are destined to repeat it. So this is why we prepare. We prepare so that when the time comes, we can get through without having to capitulate, without having to bend the knee to Baal. And to worship the state, which is what the state ultimately wants. It wants our allegiance. It wants our dependence. And so we prepare so that we don't have to give that to it. We can live off the grid. We can withdraw and survive. We can connect with our neighbors and friends and get through whatever they're going to throw at us in an attempt to get us to bend the knee, Mark.
Yep. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things just in the last day or two on the fraud front to start with. We will talk about the Zyklon B injection, because there's more there too. But what's kind of fascinating is, and you didn't hear much about this even in the alternative press, it was kind of fascinating, but Donald Trump, the actually elected president, has now come out, and he's tweeted on Truth Social what he probably should have said a year ago. But I guess by waiting, now the evidence is conclusive enough that you have the far left literally shrieking like stuck pigs. And I did a search for some of the information on this. The amount of spin on it is downright incredible. At least Newsweek, for their part, actually quotes the guy. MSNBC is just over the top. But here's what he said. The president said, it now has come out conclusively that the FBI buried the Hunter Biden laptop story before the election, knowing that if they didn't, Trump would have easily won the 2020 presidential election, he said in his post. This is massive fraud and election interference at a level never seen before in our country. And so he is now demanding, and it's funny, I think what they're doing is they're shrieking about this, but they're making sure they don't give him coverage on the front pages. But his remedy is declare him to be the rightful winner, or at minimum, declare the 2020 election irreparably compromised and have a new election immediately. So I'll admit, I think that's it's about time. It's fairly bold, and no surprise, MSNBC, the mostly socialist, nothing but communist network, says that. Get this, the HuffPo, they're quoting, because they all run in the same pack, if anyone needed more evidence of Donald Trump's mind-bending view of reality, on Monday he demanded to be declared president nearly 2 years after the election he decisively lost. Well, he lost it because he didn't have the HuffPo on his side. But he's open to another solution. He wants a do-over election, and they can't believe it. But in fact, folks, if we're to save the country, that's about the only thing that would do it at this point. And it would be interesting, David, if there was actually an honest election. I suspect it would probably be something like 90-10 this time. Go ahead.
The lengths that the globalists are ready to go is immeasurable. at the top of the heap is human trafficking. When these guys lose total control, they will lose their lives. So on their side of the equation, it's a matter of life and death. They absolutely will play the people of the world as far as long as they can. They will not capitulate. They will not give in to the idea that Biden lost that election by fraud. They won't. They won't. And they will do everything within their power to prevent anything like Trump coming back into office.
Well, they know that they're dead if they do, because literally, this is a matter of life and death for them. There is no other way out once people realize the level of fraud, the level of mind-bending evil that's been done upon them, including the poison poke, that people won't be demanding heads on pikes. And so they know that they need to keep doubling down, because the only alternative is for them to be hanging by a short rope until they're dead. There's no in-between here. And ultimately, that's the only way the Republic survives, too, because they intend to make war.
I don't think that it is in their best interest for an election to occur at the midterms. I think that it's in their best interest, and I'm not championing that by any means. I'm just stepping over onto their side and looking as to how they survive this thing. They have to somehow sabotage between now and the election. They have to sabotage the election. They have to take off the possibility that the election could occur and that they might lose. So if they don't do something between now and the election to prevent that, it's game over for them. Ergo, I have to conclude that they have to do something before the election. And I would not be surprised if they had Donald Trump arrested and used the they can't really use the documents against him, because now he's got a special master assigned in that case. Although you do know that the people that he's suing, or that were coming after him criminally, they filed a motion to the Court of Appeals, the Circuit Court of Appeals there in D.C., in an attempt to get the special master to, in an attempt to circumvent him. Point being, if they can take Trump down between now and the election, they absolutely 100% have to, and all of the people that are supporting him. If they don't, and Trump does manage to get into the office somehow between now and November, there will be an election. But I think it's come down to that. Either there won't be an election because they will sabotage the entire system in order to maintain power, or there will be an election, and if there isn't an election, Donald Trump will be the interim president, Mark.
Well, I don't think any of us doubt that. The only thing that is likely to happen here is, you're right, you've got Bill Barr, one of the greatest scumbags wait a second. When it comes to attorney generals, we've had nothing but scumbags, okay? So I can't say that. But Barr's definitely a scumbag. He deserves to be in the ranks of people like Mr. Fast and Furious and the current Merrick Garland, arguably one of the worst, right up there with the Butcher of Waco and so forth. And Bill Barr is basically coming out and saying, oh, he expects Trump to be indicted. Some of the high-ranking Republican rhinos are admitting that, well, if they do indict Trump, there'll be blood in the streets. And, of course, that's exactly what they want. So I think it's probably almost a lead pipe cinch in this case, that they will, they'll find a reason. They don't need real evidence. They just have to have plausible claims and get the press all lined up to support whatever evidence they claim when they out it. So you're right, the special master, a lot of these things are pushing back against that, and ultimately, if Trump's not careful, they'll kill him. He has been careful so far. I think he's on top of that, and it's going to be a lot harder for them to kill him without turning him into a martyr and causing exactly the kind of thing that they don't want to come out. What I'm looking for as we're speaking here. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's a win-win scenario for them if they kill him and the people rise up in a riot and civil war. That's exactly what they want. So then they have the dictatorial authority to put that back down. So their game is to provoke the Trump supporters into violence so that they can be justified to use violence against them. Well, all right, so that puts us in a situation where to not use violence, if you know, it really becomes a dilemma as to how we should respond, because if we play into their game, they're justified, but to not, to take violence off the table when they play that card, you know, now we've got a real situation where the American people are going to be thrown into a state of chaos should Donald Trump be assassinated or should he be indicted. And we're going to have to play that one by ear. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, and again, I'm going to suggest that it's all but a lead pipe cinch. The only question is when. And as things escalate here, we're going to see that one way or another, it does come to a head. And it comes to a head before the elections, if there are any elections. It comes to a head before the market collapse, which could come at any time. As a matter of fact, as we near the fall feasts, I've heard some pretty good analysis that notes that the major stock market collapses always seem to happen then. And I think we might have had a break if we had music, but we don't seem to have the music. So what we're going to do is pause at this point anyway, and we'll come back after the bottom of the hour break. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just start because, again, we don't have the music. Skype is a mess. The system is not working well, and we should have had music by now. So let's just say, hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday show. Got yours truly, Mark Call, and David Justice, both of us in Southern Colorado. We're talking about so many things that are indicative of a collapse that's coming, I guess you'd say a crisis. Cusp. I like the term cusp. That's a point at which things one way or the other are going to break in one direction or another, and it's not necessarily clear until it happens. But you can see the pressure building up. If there was a boiler here that we were looking at, it would be way up into the red by now. So the question is just when is the final gap going to happen? As we went to break, David, I can't help but think, you know, one of those dates that history at least suggests are really important to watch are the biblical feasts. And these are not the Jewish feasts, of course. Regular listeners here know this. These are the feasts of Yah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the author of Scripture. And depending upon whether you look at the sighted moon or the new moon, we're talking the end of September, around the 26th, when the trumpets would be blown for Yom Teruah, marking the countdown to everything else that follows. 10 days, of course, to Yom Kippur, and then we have the 15th day and the next week that follows the time of Sukkot. But interestingly, and this is where I think we got interrupted if we'd had music at the bottom of the hour, the major stock market meltdowns, not just back in the last one people really think of in 1929, but also more recently in 2008 and so forth, they seem to be associated with these biblical high holy days. And that's kind of fascinating. Go ahead.
I don't want more to add to that. That's the truth, and it's always in October. There's, you know, throughout history, some of these, the Federal Reserve or the central banking system decided to do a reset or whatever. But they're behind it, and they're, you know, right now their economy is steering. The only way out is to reset to, because it is a permanent, it needs to be reset. You need new people coming in, and they need to reset it so that they get everything on top. They start new multi-level marketing programs called the Federal Reserve System or Central Bank System, and then we all buy into it. And life goes on. And when Trump got in there, he kind of messed up that 16-year plan of being Hillary Clinton. And seamlessly move us into a world war where they overthrow the Constitution, the wicked military, and I think that it would have been irresponsible of Trump at the time of the election, November 3rd, 2020, who claims to have it all, who have not set up a contingency perpetuity of government plan. It would have been irresponsible. That doesn't really fit his ego either, that he was, of all people in the Senate, he's loose and hates being wrong. But it just seems to me that there is a plan, and it's going on behind the scenes, and we're about to find out if it's in there, if this argument of dissolution. We're going to find out in the next month or so, because it'll come to pass, and the military will play an important role in arresting some very significant key players. And, but as we watch the future by history, it shocked me that the turtle moves so slow when it's one of their players, and how quickly it moves when it's one of ours. You've been in Virginia.
Okay, hey, David.
Back to Gordia.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but your signal is so bad. I wasn't hearing it. I don't think the listeners are hearing it either. You're broken up really badly. I thought, well, maybe if we pause for a second, and it sounds like what's happening is you're buffering and not buffering very well. So maybe if you pause for a second, try it again and see if it's better at this point. Can we hear you?
Okay. I'm back. I've got a strong signal and on what house system you're calling.
Okay, unfortunately.
So I'm just meeting the...
No, I'm hardly understanding a word, unfortunately. Let me throw out a story and then we'll come back to you and see if it doesn't get better. But it's definitely a really gnarly connection that you've got this morning. The story that I wanted to mention before the break, just on the Trump front, you know, another, if you can't kill him, we can kill people that are around him. The Southern District of New York, one of the more scuzzy places in the country, has come after Steve Bannon. And here's the headline from the Daily Mail, which is interesting. Making a martyr, they come out and admit, Steve Bannon is paraded through a New York court, or what now passes for it, in cuffs. He says, they'll never shut me up, they'll have to kill me first, and don't doubt it, they've probably got a plan for that, as he pleads not guilty for the second time. And, oh, yes, if we can't get him in the federal, we'll get him in the state or vice versa. Double jeopardy used to mean something, but so did the Constitution. Anyway, they're hitting him again for the We Build the Wall bogus fraud charges. He is expected to be released on cash bail. They'll take his passports, too, and they'll basically go after him. And he's essentially saying, hey, it's right in time for the election. This is purely political. Anybody that's been paying attention knows that. And you got to ask, you know, is there anything they won't stoop to? And the answer is, not that we've ever found yet. Try it again, David. Go ahead.
There's nothing they won't stoop to. Are you hearing them?
There's nothing
there. There's no law where they won't go. There's nothing wrong to or to create fear and compliance with their systems. So they're the top leaders. If they call, the sheep port would go along with the program. So the only five of the leaders are in an attempt to control the masses. So they are.
Okay. Sorry, that was a little bit better, but still, you're very broken, and it's a bad connection. I'm almost tempted to say I might have you hang up and we'll retry you if I have control of the station at this point. I'm a little bit gun shy of that for the obvious reason we've already had our share of Skype problems today. Well, let me throw out another story. Again, all of these essentially in the same direction. They want people dead. They're willing to do almost anything to accomplish it. And here's one of them. Actually, I've got a couple stories. All of these from Zero Hedge this morning, just showing again back to Europe. Without energy, no economy can run. German companies are warning of utter disaster. This is the basically German Chamber of Commerce, the Association of German Chambers of Industry and Commerce. And basically they're saying, hey, more and more companies are telling us they no longer have a viable energy supply for electricity or for gas at all. The tap has been turned off in the truest sense of the word. They're literally destroying the economy of the Eurozone. Here's another one. The United Nations and the food officials, not that we trust them, but they have come out and they've said fertilizer affordability and the crisis could slash global grain production by 40%. 40%. These are literally famine levels. And finally, from oilprice.com via Zero Hedge, hey, if that's not all bad enough, Big Brother, the Biden regime, wants you to not have a car. If you do have a car, they don't want you to be able to charge it in California. Already, if it's hot, you can't charge your car. But the common carrier is copper. Takes copper to deliver electricity. And essentially, oil price is saying the energy transition, if there is to be one, and there won't be, probably almost certainly will be derailed by a looming copper shortage. Because basically, if you don't have energy, you can't refine copper. And if you can't have copper, then you don't have any way to distribute what energy you do have, but don't worry. So the reality is that the copper shortage is an obvious threat to the plans to move to this all-electric future. Now, the problem is that was never the real plan anyway. It was always just a ruse. But the copper shortage points that out. Go ahead, David. Try it again. Uh-oh. We lost David. I guess that was to be expected. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can add him back in again. Skype. Okay. Not only is it a bad tool, folks, it's really slow this morning as well. So we're just basically having trouble with everything associated with this connection today. Almost like somebody doesn't want people to hear what's really going on. That's a shocker, I know. Okay, David Justice, we'll add him in. See if we can get him back. Okay, I want to throw another story that is this is another one that, yeah, we've heard this before. Why is it that people aren't screaming from the rooftops? You've been killing folks. Life insurance executives, this actually comes from the Epoch Times. And life insurance companies and actuaries are now saying, whoa, what we've got going on here is absolutely unbelievable. Death claims for working age adults under group life insurance policies have spiked well beyond the expected level for last summer and fall, according to data from 21 top life insurance companies in the United States. And we'll have David Moe.
You just dialed 275-4871. This is David Justice. Please leave a message. I'll get back to you when I can. Thank you.
Okay, that's not so good. We'll see if we can get David on. I'll just leave the message here while we're talking, because we've lost David and we're trying to get him back. The story basically says that the number of deaths that are associated with, well, something, what could it possibly be, folks? From the Society of Actuaries, they asked all 20 of the participating life insurance companies how they determine cause of death. Some of them basically say if it looks like it even could be COVID, we'll call it COVID. Others say we actually call people and try to find out what the truth is. But this is all cause mortality data. One of the life insurers said they only recorded COVID-19 as the cause of death when they could be determined that it was the only or primary cause of death on the death certificate. And this is the number that I'm looking for here. The sharp increase of deaths among working age people has been brought to light by first Scott Davidson. We talked about this months and months ago. The Indianapolis-based life insurance company One American, which said that they were seeing literally unbelievable events. Here is the number that for those with a statistical background, which eliminates CNBC and MSNBC. Davidson said the highest death rates seen in the history of the life insurance business have now followed, well, what could it be? Yeah, the poison poke. Highest death rates in the history of the life insurance business across all age groups. During the third quarter last year, deaths in the younger group, 25 to 34 age bracket, were 78% above the expected level. For the next age group, 45 to 54, it was 80% higher than expected. And among the older people, 55 to 64, excess mortality, 53% higher. Okay, get this. An increase in mortality of just 10%, which is high enough to virtually bankrupt insurance companies, causes a severe actuarial issue, in other words. Just a 10% increase would constitute a once-in-a-lifetime, you've heard the number, 3-sigma event, once in 200 years. This, folks, is many, many sigma past that. In other words, these are so unlikely that anybody with half a brain, any understanding of statistics at all, would say this just doesn't happen without a causal factor. And what could it be? Yeah, one answer and one answer only. No, it's not the COVID-19 booga booga flu. That's why they talked about eliminating those. And even if you include those, all-cause mortality is a far better indicator. This is something that there's just plain no other explanation for. other than they intend to kill lots and lots of people. And guess what? They're being very successful at it. David, do we have you online? I don't think we have David. We're going to try him one more time, see if we can't get him back here. It'll ring in a second, and hopefully we'll have a better connection.
You got me.
Hey, there we go. Okay, I just finished talking about a story. I don't know if you saw it or not, but basically life insurance mortality data, all-cause mortality data, is saying that literally this is not a Three Sigma event. That would have been a 10% increase. But people at the in the younger age group, 35 to 44, they're dying at almost double the rates of what are normal. And any way you slice it, this is unbelievably statistically impossible event without a causal factor. In other words, obviously the poison poke. Go ahead.
Well, but you know, I don't know how these insurance companies are going to survive this. They've got the global weather.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Catastrophes. You know, on top of everything else, there's we're looking at an end of the insurance company. So, you know, and it is the poke that is causing all these problems. It's just a matter of time. They've been hiding the truth. It's just a matter of time before they're exposed. I don't know. There's nothing more I can add, Mark.
Okay. Well, I mean, I will tell you how I think they'll hide it. They're going to be bribed. They'll be bought off. They'll be told, you can't tell people. And notice that they're not coming right out and putting this in the headlines of the New York Times or WAPO or CNN saying, hey, what's causing people to die at incredibly unbelievable rates? You know, rates that are basically worse than the Vietnam War era for people in those younger age groups. Kids that didn't die of the Zyklon B, and I'm sorry, that didn't die from the poison Fauci flu, are dying with all these other effects now that they've been injected. And thankfully, more and more parents are waking up to it and not killing their kids. But all of this essentially says there's no way out. Now, what is the way out that they'll always adopt? You guessed it. The insurance companies will be offered a buyout by Big Brother. We'll cover your losses as long as you don't tell people the truth. As long as you keep pushing the poison poke. We'll make sure you actually end up with more money than you thought you could possibly use, because we can print it, don't you know? And as people die and you don't pay out the insurance premiums, well, David, this does not happen in a world where people honor their word, where the word of a man is worth anything, and where the word of the Big Brother is absolutely worthless. There's no other way around it. It just, people have to see it.
Well, and like you know, because you've been talking about it for decades, that this has been going on for, I don't know, who knows, a century, two centuries, I don't know, 20 centuries, the corrupt that rule the world, we want to label it communism or Marxism or fascism, but it's worse than that because it's basically governments run by corruption. And now that the truth is coming up, coming out, and the...
Oops, we lost him again. I will reconnect one more time here. He was talking, and that time at least we could understand him, and he just plain disappeared.
The idea that they've been getting away from it, with it for so long, but they can't get away with it any longer, Mark.
That's the good news. And again, the bad news is, honestly, David, at this point, I don't see any way out of it except for the peaceful solution you've already talked about. And our normal guest host here, helpful Randy Yarbrough, have been talking about is people to come out. Just plain say, I won't play this game anymore. It's crooked. Why would I buy your crap? Why would I take your poison poke? Why would I pay taxes to my own destruction? Why would I do anything in a system that basically intends to kill me? Why would I accept a rigged election system when I know that exactly what's going to happen is exactly what's been happening on every front? People are going to have to say, I've had it. I'm simply not going to play the game. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not going to do whatever it is that you're asking me to do. And, of course, where it ends up is the mark of the beast, that those that have eyes to see already recognize that's where we're headed. Let me ask you quickly. I got something I wanted to throw out here. Can we hear you okay? Are you still on with us?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. So I wanted to just get your take on this. I talked about this a bit yesterday. Didn't have as much time, and hopefully, if we can keep you on, we'll close out the show with it. This was an interesting piece that makes a really good point that I think we need to think about prior to the Civil War that they're pushing. And I've heard other people talk about it from a tactical, a strategic, a logistical standpoint, having to do with the big cities, the leftist, gun-free killing zone cities, where already Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the criminal mobs that masquerade as the DNC have run things into the ground for so long. Anyway, this is a piece, again, from Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds, and he talked about the history of the big cities. And there was a time when big cities made economic sense. The human migration, it's been an enduring feature of civilization because cities are efficient. They package population within walking distance. They enable productive uses of time and material. It's a great place to centralize manufacturing, puts wealth creation into small areas, requires the support of outside elements like agriculture, obviously, and water and power. But that made sense. And as a result, he said, cities arose on coastal harbors, on navigable rivers, confluence of overland trade routes, and they enabled highly profitable trade, transport of goods, and they were defensible. And they basically flourished for all of these good reasons. But here's where things get interesting. Since about the 1970s, the nature of cities has changed. So has their viability. The fault, the problem, I'm going to say it goes back to before that, but it has to do with dishonest weights and measures, fiat money. And what happened as a result of that, for reasons that we won't go into a lot of detail on, but I can kind of summarize, financialization replaced value-added manufacturing and goods and trade as the reason that cities existed. Think about Wall Street. It's all about the control of the money and printing money and the things that Wall Street can do and the Federal Reserve and all of the concentrations of power. Financialization, financial engineering, cities became magnets instead of trade and production and manufacturing for real estate speculation, global capital seeking, a safe place to park money, health care, in other words, what's become of financialized health care, insurance. That's become, essentially another rigged game, and so-called higher education, which has degraded right along with medicine, status-enhancing conspicuous consumption, and all of the so-called diverse cultural attractions, neighborhood venues, cafes, bars, nightlife, and what happened was tourism replaced manufacturing as one of the major industries in these places. And what the author says is, the problem with that is, manufacturers had a lever over the city fathers. In other words, they could say, look, you need us here. We bring in the goods. We bring in the trade. We provide jobs. You better run a decent city. But as it became tourism and financialization and corruption, and we saw this in New York and Chicago, things literally kind of went to hell in a handbasket. Cities have always been more expensive than the countryside, and now large-scale industry was the only force that could sufficiently rein in the corruption in the cities as it's gone out of control. What's happened? The cities have become what we've seen, cesspools. And as a result, globalization, here's the key of this whole thing, globalization and financialization have hollowed out the traditional economic foundations of big cities in favor of things like entertainment and financial services, which are dependent on speculation and fiat money. And as that falls apart, so are the cities. Now, I guess what I'm going to suggest, David, here I'll turn it over to you. We've got about 2 minutes. What this logically implies is, as the financial system comes apart, the Great Reset, the last place anyone wants to be is in a cesspool city. Go ahead.
Well, lest we forget, Cain was banished to the city after he was after he killed his brother Abel, and the ground was cursed, and so he had to go to the city of Nimrod. And I like to say it like this: because he could no longer work the soil, he became a trader in the soil, and he became he created the first stock market. We can only deduce that. But the cities are easy to control. You've got your like you said, your trade, commerce, and industries all close together. rural communities are a little bit more difficult, and so the propensity is for people to move to the city. I like to say it like the Indians were moved to reservations. The cities are the modern reservations, and they want to move all people to the city because they're easier to control. But let's talk about what the economy is supposed to be. Economy is supposed to be how people can buy and sell with each other to trade their produce and their goods that they created on the work of their own hands. And that's when it was introduced. As a means to get wealthy and as a means to control, that's when the wheels fell off, and that's what evil is all about. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so the economy is always moving in a direction of creating more wealth and more material wealth for people, and then we forget what the...
Oops, and there it is. We just lost David. He dropped out again. But I think I know where he was headed because I'm headed in the same direction, and we're headed to the break, too. So let me just suggest this, folks. David's right. People are easier to control in the cities, and it's also true that as we see the breakdown coming, that one of the things that will probably be a battle line is the cities are so dependent on the countryside. They need the rural areas, flyover country, for things like food and for energy, for electricity. If that goes down and the water systems go down, we're already seeing that writ large, the cities become hell holes and fast. And that's the real issue. So be aware of that. Think about it. Plan ahead. Thanks, folks, and Shabbat Shalom.